Ghostbusters Resurrection is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network.
All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you.
For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Okay, we'll say that in the 6 months after everything happened with, like, It's Kotal and all the craziness, you guys have gotten more famous, obviously. The city's working with you. We did establish that you worked with the government now. They've started up. Alan Friedman is no longer with the EPA. He is now your liaison for the Paranormal Contracts Oversight Commission. So he's gonna, you know, he'll be checking in on you guys. Basically, the way that works is, like I said before, anytime you write a bill to someone, they send it to the city pays for it. But the twist on this is that if you were to suddenly say something to somebody, oh, you busted a mist with some arms and legs, and then you go, this was a class 7, so we're going to charge you $20 million. And then Alan Friedman gets it on his desk. He goes, wait a minute, I know what a class 7 is. Because now he's working with the Paranormal Contracts Oversight
See, this is
commission.
Why I wish Romney would have won the election, because we would have gotten less regulation on small businesses.
But it's to make sure that you guys are basically, you don't upcharge.
Well, I'm straight up lying all the time, like, I'm going to be honest.
We'll say that in the meantime, because of the popularity, you know, people are obviously more interested in ghosts now because a lot of people saw all the craziness that was happening throughout Orlando. Some other franchises have started up. Blake Bjornstad, after the fame and everything, and you guys have been making a lot of money, Vicky didn't feel comfortable with him still being a Ghostbuster. So she graduated from UCF. She's a lawyer now. So she thought that he doesn't have to work in a dangerous job anymore, so she convinced him to go into semi-retirement.
As a cabin boy.
Yeah. So he's in semi-retirement, but if there's an emergency that might require attention, he might be available, depending. So now it's just down to you four guys. So I guess for anyone who's listening who doesn't know, and because of any goals that have changed, we'll have everyone reintroduce themselves before we go any further. Starting with Josh.
I'm LaForge. I'm a Ghostbuster. Okay.
Hi, LaForge.
Thank you.
Hi.
What's your goal this time around?
My goal is wealth. My goal is to get as much money as possible.
Alright, Pool.
Alright, I'm Pool, also a Ghostbuster.
Hi, Pool.
Most of us. And my goal is fame.
Alright, and Mike?
I am Wall. My goal this time around is wealth. I mean, we did a pretty good job of that last time, saving the world and everything. A little sad that now we gotta be on the up and up about what we're charging people, but I guess I'll make do.
Oh, I feel bad that we gotta be honest. And last but not least.
I'm Briggs. I still believe in spectral tigers.
You fought one.
My goal this time around, I changed it because,
All the money and the fame wasn't doing it for you.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it's just, I'm insatiable. I'm gonna go with love.
Going with love,
yeah.
This time.
After having seen Blake,
he's gonna
walk
make sweet
off
love
into
to
the
that.
Sunset. Hey, look.
He's gonna make sweet love to look. That spectral tiger and reproduce.
like, I don't know, I would just maybe get lucky find a lady or something.
Well, you know.
I mean, that's kind of what I've always been.
I wish you the best of luck.
So, like, I mean, I'm sure, look, I have a cool of one. Odds are in my favor.
You never know. I'll just say you never know.
Cool of one, the goal of love, challenge accepted.
I'll say that shortly after the events of It's Kotal and the pyramid and everything, I don't know if you guys remember, you asked that the Chu family, they weren't able to pay for your services, but you did request that in lieu of payment, if they could just bring Han over and explain her side of the story of, like, how things happened, that'd be fine. So she came over, she brought the tooth with her, and said that she can't sleep with it in the same room as her, like in the same house, because it gives her nightmares.
I've always wanted a lucky guitar pick.
She told you about how she was feeling sick, like normal sickness, but then over time she started having more nightmares, and she would hear things in her sleep, names and scary voices, and then one day she just remembers waking up covered in slime, and you guys had busted the ghost that was possessing her, so... It really wasn't much for her to explain, but what she did, you did take down and have her.
When her family drove her to the firehouse to talk to us, did they bring food?
Yeah. Okay. Of course they did. Like
they know how much we like.
Yeah. But that was like about 6 months ago. And since then, I'm sure if you wanted to, you had it. The tooth is now framed on the wall along with some other souvenirs. The Science Center is in the process of being rebuilt from the ground up. They're still digging up everything and replanting the foundations and everything. With Blake leaving and business picking up a little bit still, nothing as big as like the day when its Kotal took over. You had to hire someone else, so you hired your good friend Doug Banks to come in and
who?
Yeah. You hired me to come in and basically do the records, the paperwork and everything, so this way Alan Freeman wouldn't have to speak directly with you. I would be the one to double check, make sure everything is fine before you guys sent off anything to him, so he wouldn't have to come down and hassle you guys personally if anything bad ever did happen. The other thing is that in the month or two following the events at the pyramid, every person involved started feeling strange, and some of you started suffering from some nightmares. So what I'm gonna do now is have each of you start rolling ghost dies, and the first person to get the 3 ghost dies, we'll discuss that when that happens.
So everyone
has to roll the same time, and the first person to get the 3. So everyone, do your first roll.
Wait,
who got one?
Adam's got one,
but it's the first to 3.
All right.
Ooh.
Okay, Mike's the only one without one now.
Yeah.
Ooh. Everyone's got one. All right, everyone's got one.
Sleepless nights. God damn.
Oh. All right, Adam and Josh have 2. LaForge
and
Briggs with 2.
And I'm gonna be a ghost.
It's a tie for 3.
Yeah.
A tie for 3. All right, then I guess next one to 4. All right.
All right.
So
have I been dethroned as ghost icon?
No. But what this does mean, is I am gonna have to ask the 3 of you to leave the room for just a moment while I explain something to LaForge about what this ghost eye means and the nightmares he's been having.
Oh man.
Real man don't get no nightmares. Real man don't talk about nightmares.
We need to keep him slime constantly now.
Everyone was having nightmares and everyone's feeling kind of strange. One day, you wake up. We're good to go. All right, guys, you can come in.
I just say, hey, guys, been feeling weird lately. Things are a little different now. that's all I can really say.
He really can't explain it, but I think
you'll figure it out.
Eventually. But you've all been feeling weird, too. But it's kind of like, for you guys, it's been dying out. So for Josh to suddenly say that he's been feeling strange is like, well, we've all been feeling strange. But for him to be that strong about it is like, okay, interesting. So, Doug, am working with you guys. Nina's still working there. Everything's going fine. Things have gotten a little slow in the 6 months, leading up to everything. But one day, you guys get a call. It's from a private yacht in Port Canaveral. And they want to know if you can get there somewhat discreetly, but today.
How would you like us dressed? I mean, what kind of party is it?
They just don't want sirens blaring and whatever, you know? Like, they if you guys can just show up and,
That's the only way I like to drive. So maybe we'll leave Tobin here for this one.
That's up to you guys if you want to leave Tobin, or if you want, I mean, it's...
I mean, Tobin doesn't howl out the car window as
you
drive.
Yeah. I think so.
He's our second siren.
We're short one, Ghostbuster.
What do you do when you hear a ghost coming? Excellent, fantastic, yes.
Let's go. We can swing by.
Dog paddle. I mean,
dude, we can swing by. Hey guys, we can go by coconuts when we're done.
Done.
So, all right. So, what do you want? So, what are you doing?
I guess we'll load up.
Packing up.
Yep.
And you're bringing Tobin, no Tobin?
We'll leave. We'll bring Tobin, but I mean, we'll decide if we want to
take him out of the car.
All right, everyone, choose your gear.
We make sure we got this for the Ecto one.
Yeah.
Beach kit.
Okay. Especially heading towards
the
water.
We're going on a boat.
I'm gonna get the scuba gear.
We don't understand the nature of their issue, do we?
Just that there's a ghost haunting on a boat, and they don't want to talk about it too much with them because they're very private. But they will discuss it when you get there.
It's the brother of the mutineer.
And you are or not bringing Tobin?
Yes,
we are.
Okay. So you guys drive out. It takes about an hour, to get out to Port Canaveral from where you guys are in Orlando. They gave you directions on where to go. You pull in. There's a nice dock, a long dock with yachts that line the entire thing. And you're looking for the boat called, the yacht rather, you're looking for the yacht called Rock Bottom. You see that there is a very large yacht at the end of the dock. You walk out, sure enough, that's the one you're looking for. It's very rich. Like, it's very upper class.
How about grills instead of coconuts?
I feel it would just make the evening high class from start to finish.
So as you approach, you notice that there's like a team of men carrying things off this boat, and one of them sees you guys approach, and they're like, "Oh yeah, Ghostbusters, you guys can just head up on the boat. You can head into the dining room, and our boss will talk to you in just a few minutes." So,
are we bringing Tobin in?
Yeah,
let's do that. Because one of us can always just walk him back to the car. Maybe. All
right, I've got Tobin.
So you guys get on the yacht and you're walking through and you just see, like, again, it's just a huge team of people moving things in and out. As you're walking in, you walk, like, through, like, the viewing deck, you know, all these other very, you know, fancy rooms and everything, and you're working your way into the dining area, which has just, like, nice panoramic windows of the, you know, of the water and everything. And as you're moving in to sit down, you notice a woman comes running in, and as she opens the door, she looks at you guys, and it's Selena Morelli, Pool's crazy stalker ex, and she screams. Jesus. She's like, Dad, what are these people doing here? And this old gentleman walks in.
I just let go of Tobin's leash.
Get her. He goes, Selena, he says, go to your room.
On the boat.
And she's very upset. And he walks in, he looks at you guys, and he has a few, which you realize now are like bodyguards. He has like two bodyguards with him. He looks at all of you and he goes, "Do you know who I am?"
"Yeah, you're that lady's father. Yacht owner."
Shot caller.
Can everyone give me a brains roll? Five?
Five. Seven.
Six and I goes.
Seven. Alright, well, so the lowest we had was five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You all know who this guy is. He's also known as Don Morelli, head of one of the largest crime syndicates. Yeah, in New York City.
Good job, Paul.
Oh man, if I'd have known, I'd have stuck with her.
You would have worked that out even though she was crazy.
We don't talk about business at the table.
So we'll say that if you rolled a ghost die, you went, "You're her father." Trying to be a smartass, but it doesn't quite work out. but you would all nod and just be like, "Yeah," because you know this guy. He's serious business. And he just says, "Look, the thing that happened with my daughter, I'm gonna be honest, she's a pain in the ass, so I understand. But it didn't make me look too good. I was gonna do something about it, but then something happened to me. I just got back from a trip in the Mediterranean to pick up my daughter from jail, but on the way back, strange things have been happening, and if you gentlemen would take care of it, I'm willing to call the whole thing off."
Damn it, Pool.
Doesn't sound like there's a lot of money in that for us. That's all I'm saying. I say that.
You say that?
Yeah.
He says, "Well, I'm not offering much right now, but I'll just say that it's better interest of your health if you just do me this favor, and we could be even."
I'm just saying, I'm not trying, this isn't a threat at all, but we are carrying nuclear accelerators on our back. It is within this entire state's best interest not to try to cause any of us to come to harm.
He says, I'm not threatening
you. We're not threatening you, is what I'm saying.
So do you gentlemen think you can take care of this ghost problem that's on my boat?
I mean, what has been happening exactly? Like, what are you?
You can tell he's kind of ashamed. He doesn't really want. He's not feeling very comfortable because he's obviously a guy of power.
You're not sleeping with it, are you, Don?
if you press him to get into specifics, he'll ask his two bodyguards to leave, and then he sits down. And he gets very candid, and he sort of tough guy persona kind of dips, and he's just like, he says, "Guys, I haven't slept in weeks. This was my father's boat, and this was his pride and joy, and back in those days, things were people were a little bit meaner, you know, some unsavory things happened on the boat, if you catch my drift. I'd like to make the family legitimate, you know, but one of my father's nemeses, as it were, has been appearing here in the night, and I'm afraid that if it goes on, I may not live much longer, because I find myself waking up, choking, drowning, in my own bedroom, I'm actually drowning in water.
In the boat?
I'm in my room on the boat. Yeah. Mm. And I wake
the boat,
up and
the boat is normally above water.
Yes. Yeah. And I see this figure of this man who tried to kill my father back in the day, and he quickly disappears. But it's been getting worse all the time, and I can't. I'm moving off of the boat in an attempt to try and distance myself, but it's been very bad.
Mm. Okay. Well, you're a businessman.
Yes.
And you want to look strong in front of your compatriots.
Yes, yes.
And you can't do that by agreeing to pay us after
the embarrassment.
After the embarrassment.
Which I understand it is her fault, but you see how things are.
We may be able to arrange something that's mutually beneficial, and you don't have to
lose face.
What kind of connections do you have with the government?
he's a few. I mean, I don't want to get in specifics right
okay,
now.
Okay, well, let's just say we are facing a very new kind of regulation. And
day one, when you got new legal, it's like, all right, guys, we're going to make sure you're on the up and up. All right, but let's hear it. Okay.
Josh's like,
he's
well,
listening.
Cool. I just met the mob.
My goal is wealth. Not...
No, let's hear what Josh has to
let's
say.
Let's hear what he has to say. Yeah. He's listening to you.
Nothing has to be recorded, no payments have to change hands, and that makes it so that nobody can look this up for you. But if you, we're suffering from a new regulator called the Peacock Paranormal Investigation.
Contracts
Oversight Committee. And they're being a little harsher on us than we're used to. And
being totally fair.
We reasonably need to make money for us to continue to do the work we do, work that admittedly helps people like you get sleep at night. I'm just saying, I think we might be able to come to an arrangement if you get what I mean.
He says, so you want, in lieu of you paying me back for my daughter's arrest, you're asking for just a favor.
I'm asking for a friend.
If you can take care of this without destroying my boat, I think I consider you guys some really
guys,
friends.
I should get off the boat.
Yeah, right. I like how you looked at Adam.
It was like, Briggs, can you take Tobin back to the car, please?
I have a slime blower, to be fair.
I'm just going to hand him away. We're like, well, I mean, unexpected things happen. I do need you to sign
this. He doesn't have to sign that.
If you step in, he's like, I don't want any paperwork tracing me back to this, right, if you can understand that. Right. He says, if as long as you don't destroy my boat, you know... I'd be willing to throw a couple fundraisers, or make a few connections to some people who are from friends and associates. Okay.
We won't destroy your boat. I'm just saying.
All we need
stuff may get damaged.
All we're gonna need if we take care of this for you, all we're gonna need is a way for you to keep people from getting in our way.
He makes it clear that he doesn't really want to be continuing to do business. He doesn't want to corrupt anything. He's trying to get out of the business.
Right. I'm just saying, if you have connections and you have friends, we'd like to be friends.
He reiterates that the boat is very precious to him and his family because it was important to his father. So as long as you guys can get through without sinking the boat, he's because at this point it's gotten so bad that he's considering selling it and it breaks his heart. So if you guys can get rid of the ghost and not have it destroyed and he can get back on the boat again, he would be very much in his favor. So if you guys are in agreement and you kind of have an understanding, he says, all right, well, if you gentlemen, if we're good here, I'm going to get off the boat and I'm going to get something to eat, and hopefully we can take care of this before sundown, because I would like to...
Go to girls.
Because I'd like to get this done as soon as we can. So
grab your dog.
I'll be leaving. He gives like one of you a card with a phone number written on it. And he says, and please do what you have to do to get rid of it, but if you can, please try to avoid destroying the boat. So anyway, after, you know, maybe like 10-15 minutes, they get out of there pretty quick. So the boat's at the end of the dock, everyone's off the boat, and Mr. Morelli, you can tell he's okay with you guys. He's trusting you guys, but he's obviously very worried. But you know how to contact him when you guys are done. So, and Tobin, you left Tobin?
No, Tobin. I've got him on a leash with me.
Alright, so Tobin's still on the boat with you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to head to the bedroom.
Okay.
He just needs a nap.
You want to go?
No, I want
to. You want to go to the dog? You want to go to the master bedroom?
Don's
bedroom. All right, give me a brain roll. Okay, you're picking up some definite activity. Well, it gets stronger when you're moving around the bedroom. It gets stronger when you go to the floor.
Might be below deck. You should head down. I immediately want to go below deck.
I didn't bring my swashbuckling sword.
No, I did bring my scuba gear.
So I'm gonna follow it down and keep going.
All right, are you guys with him, or
yeah,
you guys
yeah,
gonna
follow
suit?
I'm
gonna put on my goggles as well.
Since you're our engineer, yeah. What's the how does slime blowers work underwater?
I imagine they probably they dilute very quickly, and the slime just goes like that.
I mean, they would work, but they're not gonna go nearly as far. Like they're not gonna.
Tether,
you know,
slime tether could probably work fine.
Slime tether could probably work fine. Like if you were in theory, if you were underwater. And you slime tethered one thing, and then slime tethered another thing. Well, even underwater, yeah, it would work.
So my net would still work, like if a shark came at it.
Wouldn't. It's not nearly as fast, but you know, yeah, I think it could in theory. Yeah.
Just wait till it's right there.
Depending on a lot of factors, it may work. Yeah.
I'm gonna look around with the ecto goggles.
Okay, as you guys are making your way down or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, people use nets underwater all the time.
25. He looks in the corner and the ghost 25. Just has a lampshade on his head.
He's been there the whole time. with that roll, you put the goggles on, and as you're like walking out from there, you're gonna go down below deck. The moment you flip on these goggles, you're seeing ectoplasmic like splotches and just like as if things were moving in and out of the walls everywhere. Like as if it'd be like you remember in Red Dragon when he flips the light on and the room is dark and there's blood all over the wall. It's like that, but with invisible ectoplasm that you wouldn't see with the naked eye.
Guys, this room is hot.
Yeah. I mean, this whole... And as you're moving out of the bedroom, I mean, you're also around on the deck, like, all over the deck. Like, it's just smeared all over and gross. Yeah.
Can we actually interact with it or no?
You can't see it. You can only see it with the ecto goggles on.
I want to head wherever the master bedroom is, the room directly below it. I want to head there. We should
just keep going down.
I'm just gonna tell you right now, if you keep going down, it's gonna keep telling you to go further and further down, and there's like two or three decks total. And we finally reach a point where it's just the engine room is the only thing that's left down there, like engine room and storage space. You're picking up heavy readings throughout the engine room, as you guys are entering, you know. Like you're coming down some stairs, there's a door, you open the door, and you just keep going, like there's a door on the stairs basically, you go inside. As soon as you enter that engine room, you're still going down some stairs, and this whole room, like this whole thing is very hot, as Mike would put it.
Mike, look around. We should probably check the engines. I have no idea why I think that, but check the engines.
I would like to understand the manner in which this man was killed.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah,
I should have asked before Mr. Morelli left.
Oh, we got his card. Call.
I mean, again, you're seeing it everywhere, and if you're looking at the engines, there's nothing particularly strong about the engines, but it is on the engines. Like this is like, there's been ectoplasmic and psychokinetic activity throughout this whole place. I mean, it's just everywhere.
Think
but it's not
call Mr. Morelli.
It's not more so in the engine than anywhere else.
Okay.
Should we start looking around the ship, maybe checking for areas where they don't want people to look?
Well, now we'll say that this is a large boat. It's not like you get to the bottom and then it's like it's not the size of this. The engine room is not the size of this room. It goes for the length of the boat because it's not just engines. It's also storage space, and it is more cramped than the other areas.
Let's head towards that storage space. Yeah. Then. Is there any area of the boat where there's anything left that hasn't been taken off by the?
You mean as far as like furniture and stuff like that? Yeah. I mean, there's like boxes, but if you were to like take a look, you can obviously see this like tub. It's like, you know, clear plastic bins of just like napkins. Silverware, nothing. Nothing
dead
that
mobsters.
Seems that unique. There's not. I mean, you're not seeing any dead mobsters now.
We find Jimmy Hoffa.
Well, that's who it is, Jimmy Hoffa.
As you go deeper into here, you do hear the hatch door close behind you from where the engine room was. If you were making your way to the storage room,
we really should have closed it behind us anyway.
I'm gonna go to the door, give it a good tug.
So you're gonna run back to the door, give it a tug.
Yeah.
It's not opening, but as soon as you touch the door, the engines kick on.
Oh, good.
Well,
that's wonder fantastic. Where we're going. Is there a manual override for the engines?
I'll say yes.
Okay, I run over and try to yank on it.
You just hit it and nothing is happening.
All right, I'm an engineer. I'm going to engineer this engine. I'm going to find out how to disable it quickly.
Okay, I mean, so if you want...
Typically, it would be with a manual override.
True.
Now, Mike, when you saw all the stuff inside the engine, did you relay that information? I'm guessing, like, some people already know that there was stuff all over the walls and everything like that.
I don't believe I actually relayed that information, but...
I mean, you can. Right. We can say that you did. But now, because based on that knowledge of what he told you, and you're looking at the engines, you're realizing the engines right now are not being powered by fuel or electricity.
Oh, okay. All right.
That may be one of those moments where you actually should hook your proton back up to it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, send it into overdrive.
I'm going to actually pull it, so I'm just going to slime the engine.
Are you wearing a slime pack?
Yeah, I'm wearing a slime pack.
Okay.
I'm going to basically purge it.
Real quick. Can I let Tobin off his leash and see if he leads anywhere?
Okay. Yeah. If you let him off his leash, he kind of cowers downward like this and puts his tail in between his legs. You're kind of getting the idea that he is aware that there's something everywhere, much in the sense that you were to see that there was disturbance everywhere.
So yeah.
So you want to slide?
Guys, the boat.
I'm gonna slime the engine. Hopefully that will interfere.
Okay. So we'll say that the engine's been going for like a couple minutes at this point. If you slime the engine, just give me a standard move roll to see how well you can cover.
Have we been moving? Can we feel that we're moving?
You have been moving. Yeah. You cover it pretty good. It starts kind of popping and kind of like clanking, like it is doing something. So it's weird. You're watching this and it's kind of moving for a few seconds, but then the power cuts out and the engine shuts off.
Good. Okay, good.
The lights go out and the emergency red lights come on.
Oh, that's not good.
And an alarm sounds.
Alright, I'm gonna turn my light on.
Your flashlight?
Yeah, same.
Okay.
I'm not, because it hurts my eyes.
After the alarm sounds and the red lights come on and everything, like the engines have cut out, you do feel that the boat goes at an angle a little bit. It's like it starts to, you know, go tip towards its side, and you're kind of at like maybe you're 10 degrees off kilter from what you would normally be.
It's not good.
We need to get out of the engine.
Let's get topside.
Is the door still?
The door's not responding.
Okay, there has to be. There's fire exits in the engine. They have usually one at the bow and one at the stern.
Well, now there. You didn't get to go all the way through the storm because again, this is sort of like you got to imagine this is the bottom of the boat, so it's kind of a long. You came in on the back of the engine.
I am running.
with this new talent of run. Okay, go ahead. If you want to try and run to the other end, go ahead and give me a run.
I'm running to it to check for emergency exit. So 8, 10, 16, 20.
20. Okay, you are running, and as you're running, you do see that there is another exit on the other end of the boat.
And I want to.
Just exit. Let's go.
Okay, if you guys are right behind him, you go up right behind him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you go up right behind him.
And somebody grab Tobin quickly.
Tobin's following you. He's not going to stick around. He's like, if the Ghostbusters are running away, he's not going to stay here and be scared. So he's right there with you. When you're running for the other door, as you guys leave successive rooms, like different storerooms and the engine rooms, just behind each door closes successively, and you guys are being cornered into this room. And as you all are in this room, you've been noticing that the boat has been tipping slightly more and more and more, and now that you hear water filling in from somewhere.
Oh, shit. We're on probably the...
It's not our first time encountering ghost water.
It's not.
We're probably on the lower deck, right?
You're on the lowest. Lowest, yeah.
Well, we got out of the room, right? We're through the exit.
You got it? Well, no. You're stuck in that room just before the exit. It's another storm.
Okay, now I'm immediately going to try and open the exit and get through it.
Okay, it's not opening, but if you want to give me, like, muscles to try and break through and everything like that, you can do that.
I'll try.
Okay.
I'm going to grab onto his feet and push him.
Yeah.
As he pushes.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Like double up the muscles?
Double muscles.
That was a bad idea.
That was terrible.
Alright, well let's, what did Adam get?
Adam just steps on your face.
Adam, what did you get?
14.
14? You are pulling it. Like it's a hatch, you know, like with a twisty. You are pulling it really hard and you think you might be making some leeway. And what did you get?
Ten and a ghost.
With 10 and a ghost, you're like, come on! You're pushing him and your grip slips on him and then he slips. So it's just like he has to grab it again. But in the meantime, I will say that you've been hearing the water rushing up and it's coming up to the door, like not the door you're at, but to the door behind you that you guys came in on.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
While when I hear the water, I just put my scuba gear on.
It is weird that you have a proton pack and scuba gear with you, but yeah, okay.
He's got a slime blower.
Oh, a slime blower? You got a slime blower?
He's got two tanks.
So you got like two tanks there? Alright, okay.
Well, they do make the micro tanks that actually just clip to your belt.
That's actually what this kind of...
I will say that the water, in this case, you hear banging on the door along with the water, and water is now seeping in through the bottom of the door and is coming into this compartment.
Can you look with your goggles? Is it normal water? Is it actual
water? Let me have a look with my god eyes. ridiculous.
So you guys are, so also while he's counting that, so you guys are back up against this door. Yeah. Adam is still trying to pull on this door, and this water is coming in. It hasn't touched you guys yet, but you're at an angle on the like the sideways like this. The door is tilted clockwise. Okay, well let him count this up first, and then and the water's coming, hasn't touched you guys yet, but
yeah,
it's 28. You know this water is real.
This is, guys, it's not fake. That's actually coming in.
Alright, I yank Briggs out of the way.
Okay.
And I go, we need this thing open.
17, I will say you get a really good grip on it and you're starting to get it. But it's like, I mean, because you, being Ghostbusters, you know that it's not necessarily rust or a broken
sure.
door that's doing this, but you are fighting it and you're making progress.
Is there enough room on the ladder rocket? Because I'm tall. Can I get up there and just start pushing too on it?
If you both want to like grab one and you grab the other end, if you want to do that,
yeah.
go ahead.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead. You guys can do that.
I want to spend two. I want to spend two brownies.
This is on teamwork.
Okay. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I want to spend two brownies.
Okay. Okay. 21 and
seven.
So let's total 28.
Yeah.
For teamwork 28, I'm gonna say yeah. You get it, and you're. Again, because it's almost like someone's holding the door on the other side is what this is like. Someone really strong is holding on the other side. But you are doing it. Like, you are actually, like, two people working together. You are rotating this thing, and you know you're going to get it if you just keep it up and you don't let up. I'm going to ask for one more roll in a minute, but I'll say that you are getting it.
We're like Goku at the end of World Strongest.
What does happen is this the banging, like a fist, on this door has continued.
The one that's above us? Or
The one that's behind you, where you came in. And the water is filling up. It is catching up very much so. The door opens.
Okay.
And a rush of water comes in, but it's not like a tidal wave. Like a rush of water comes in, and it's actually surprisingly less than you were expecting. It comes in and you're up to your knees. Like
trap Tobin.
Like
yeah.
in water. Tobin, his head could be up above it, so he's not panicking, but it is like up to your guys' knees and it's up to like Tobin's like neck and his tail and like his back is like, you know, just out of the water. And when you see that the door is opened, there's no one there, and you can see the entire length of the ship. So you're crooked and you're seeing down the entire length of the ship, and it's still red emergency lighting everywhere. You don't see a person yet, but the water is even like throughout, like it's at an even height, but you're still hearing some water come in.
I don't see anything with the goggles, do I? There's nothing, like, it's not an invisible person, it's just...
Because you have your goggles on the entire time, right?
Yes, I'm
okay.
sure.
Okay, when the door opens, you don't see a person there, but you do see some ectoplasmic, invisible otherwise, like, mist sort of thing at the far end, like, hiding in the, like, surrounding the engines.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, hey, Pool, slime the engines again.
You want him to go down there by himself?
No. If you got trapped back there, he could be cut off and be dead.
Alright, how about,
you do have scuba gear.
Yeah. How about...
Slime engines. Scuba gear.
Alright, how about, I start walking towards the back of the boat, and every time I pass through a new door, I turn and tether the door open.
Okay, yeah, you can do that. Okay. Yeah, I won't make you roll for that.
Okay.
So yeah, you just...
So I'm working my way down the hall.
Yeah.
Just every
do you want to take Tobin with
around.
You, or are you just
yeah,
going to
yeah,
make...
Yeah, Tobin's with me. Guys,
Tobin doesn't have scuba gear.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Leave him with
yeah.
Walt.
I'll take
Tobin.
Okay, so Pool by himself, click with his flashlight, starts wading through the water back down that way. You guys, in the meantime, you guys give me your roll to open the door.
Yeah, we need a way out.
Okay, I'll say you guys open the door. So you mean, again, it's steady the entire way. It's hard to do, but you do get it open.
Tether
it. Slime tether it.
Okay, I'll get up there and I'll slime tether the thing.
Yeah. Like just get it.
You're slime tethering the door.
Yeah, I'm gonna multi-slime tether that thing. And just throw a net on the back of it for good measure. That just.
Okay, when you slime tether the door that you were trying to open, when you slime tether that door, it's and it gets it and it's struggling, but it's holding. Okay, in the meantime, you've been slime tethering every door as you go
right.
in, and you get down to where the engines are. The water is coming in that area, but you don't feel like you're in immediate danger. So you're up to your knees in the water, and you're at the engines, and you're just gonna slime them?
Yeah.
Okay, you hit it. You're sliming it, but you're obviously very concerned about anything closing on you and everything like that. As you're sliming it, spider crabs crawl up over the engine and come across the top. Like a whole bunch.
This is the worst place for me to be ever.
They're not real crabs. I mean, they're not real spiders.
They're spider crabs.
Spider crabs.
So spider crabs.
Yeah, afraid of crabs too, are you?
Spider crabs. It's like, so spider crabs start climbing up, and it's like it's almost like you're gonna start worrying about them overtaking you rather than the water.
I take a step back towards the next room and.
Start working your way back out. So as you're working your way back out backwards, you're gonna try and slime everything again.
Yeah.
All right, give me one more.
Yeah. How is the engine set up? Is it like?
Well, it wasn't
like
moving.
Two main things.
It's two main things.
Okay.
Two
then
sets.
I'm gonna fire two nets, one at like each engine, to try and keep whatever it catches.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you can do that.
So.
And then we can eat wonderfully later.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna spend 2 brownie points.
Okay. Yeah. You net both of these things, and the nets hit some of the crabs, and you know they're stuck. But more and more are coming. Right. So, and they're picking up speed too. So if you're gonna work your way back out of that engine room,
yeah.
Okay, and let me come back to you guys. So the three of you guys and Tobin are still in here. Adam's on the outside, making sure that door is open. What are you guys gonna do?
I'm gonna carry Tobin and just get the fuck out.
Sorry, you're gonna climb up back up the stairs out of there.
Okay, yeah. We're trying to see where the water's coming in from.
That's over where I am.
Yeah.
What do I see as far as where the water's coming?
As you saw in the engine, you could see that there was water coming in the engine.
Okay, from holes?
Okay. From almost like from like the bulkheads, like it's just seeping in here really quickly. Not that there's like a hole that was punched in, but just like it's coming in. It's finding leaks and just finding its way in.
Well, I guess Briggs is nursing the door, so I'll go with Wall.
Up top?
Yeah.
Okay, so pull the nine buttons. Now for everything else that was slime tethered. So what do you do now? You're still walking backwards, trying to get out of there?
Yeah, I'm walking back, and I guess I'm moving a lot faster, like I'm moving.
You're just trying to get out as fast as you can? Okay.
I take my head down there, and I go, what are you doing? Shit's getting weird down here, guys!
I will say, okay, at this point, you
have a logical explanation.
I'll say that you've left the engine room, you've made it through one storeroom, and you're like basically at the halfway point.
Okay.
So now I'm going to test and see if what happens with the doors that you slam tethered open. The first one stays open really well. The next one, it's gonna close. The last storeroom before you go up topside, you're like, okay, I think I made it. Then that one closes, and I'm assuming you're walking forward to leave.
Right.
As that one closes, the other ones don't. And as you turn to look back, you see stepping out from behind where one of the engines was is a man. Dressed in a nice three-piece suit, but he's kind of bloated and fungusy and everything else. And he steps out, he looks and he turns to you, and he immediately starts vomiting up seawater. And it just starts filling up, and the water's gonna fill up much, much faster now. And he's gonna start walking your way.
I just go, ew.
So
do I see this happen as I hang?
So
down?
Obviously I hear the
door.
Well, you guys just hear. You heard a door shut.
Okay, I go back down and immediately go to open it.
Okay, give me muscles to open it. 21 on the ghost. I'll say you're basically getting it open.
I step forward and fire a net at
his face.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're able to open that door in time to see Pool's back to you as he's firing a net at this guy. Nah, you don't hit him. It just goes. It just like hits. Let's say it hits the engines where he was standing next to.
Get in here now.
So I scramble back up to the.
Alright, you're gonna go up topside?
Yeah, and I let everyone go and you're wrong.
Alright. Alright, it's still down there, but you guys are on. You guys are on topside. Now, I'll
quickly relay what I saw.
Yeah, if you're up there, the boat is still tilted at like, you know, at an angle sideways like this.
Is there a window port nearby that I can look to see how far offshore we are?
You are like on the outside of the deck, and you see that you're not like in the middle of the ocean, but you are far enough away where it would be bad. It would be tough to swim.
That was fast.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we don't really have much of a choice. Let's roast this chump.
Yeah, let's go back down the main door that we went in.
The original one?
The one
that leads to the engine room?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to go around the boat and get back on that side?
Yeah, I guess that's the only plan we got, or else he'll just sink the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sinking the boat was pretty much the only thing we were told not to do.
Yeah. Last thing I want to do is capsize on this thing. It's not good.
All right, so you're going around, you're staying on the top deck, going around, coming back down the way you originally came in to go straight to the engine room.
Correct.
Okay, so you get there, open the door, It's still dark. There's a little bit more water that's been flooded in. I would say it's probably more like thigh high at this point.
I got my goggles on. Do I see, like, at least, like, the silhouette of this dude?
You see plenty of spider crabs that are in the water, under the water, on top of the engines where the water hasn't risen yet. I will say that if you go in lower and, like, you basically get into... if you get
I'll wade in.
Yeah, if you wade into the water, you do see this guy walking around. I'm not really entirely aware of you, but he is, like, walking around scarily.
How far away is this guy?
Right now, if you're in the engine room, I would say he's about 15 feet away.
15?
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a chance. I'm gonna boson dart him.
Okay.
Spend two brownie points.
Yeah. I will say that he'll be in between the engines, so you do feel this is a clear shot. You're not taking...
Okay. 28.
Yeah, you hit him. You hit him really good, actually. with a roll that high.
I say, say it, don't spray it.
Oh, wow. It's already starting. To get his mouth shut, I want to take a very pinpoint shot and try and net his...
Just his head? Just his, net his head?
Net his head.
That's not good enough to hit him from where you are. It's easily too far away for that. But yeah, you shoot, just misses, hits the wall. You want to jump in?
I'll jump in. Take a quick proton pack.
Just regular proton stream?
Regular proton stream.
Okay. 13 with a regular proton stream, I would say you hit.
Yeah. Briggs is making a variety of faces. So I've never seen him close his mouth that enthusiastically.
I'll follow Briggs' lead.
You gonna try and net this guy's head?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll say you net him, but it's mostly on his torso. Like, you just, like, it hits him, but it's, like, some of it hits his face. Doesn't quite close his mouth, but you do hit him with the net. All right, I guess we'll go back to Josh. We're in a combat round here.
Okay.
We're doing this.
Can somebody hand me a trap?
Yeah, I got one.
Okay. So I just grab Cole's trap. He gets my climbing gear.
I'm so full of gear.
I'm gonna run up, like, wade quickly as he's netted and stunned.
Crunching over the crabs and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with my slime boots.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just gonna open the trap and swing it at him.
Swing the trap at him?
Like a blackjack.
Yeah. Give me moves.
Okay.
So now are you coming sideways across his head, or are you coming down like a butterfly net?
Oh, straight down.
Like a net? Okay.
Yeah.
16 and a ghost. I'd say what happens is you come, like, he's still stunned. Mm-hmm. He's just been netted, so he is still, he's holding still. But as you come down over him, he goes, so you open it, as it comes, I'm assuming you opened
it. Yeah, no, that was
It comes down over him, and as you're collecting it, you're like, oh, it's working! You hit the water, and it shorts out, and then spits him back out, throws your hand back, so he's still there.
Well, we know traps work.
Well, okay, this will be strange. He still has the slime tether on him, but he's invisible. But you can still see that he's there because it's out. The slime net is outlining his body. So he's invisible, but you know where he is.
Well, I got the Ecto goggles on, right? So I can see him.
You would see him, yeah. Okay. If you both have him on, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Josh is right in front of him right now, so you can definitely.
yeah. LaForge, duck.
Cool. I practiced my backstroke.
All right. You want to give him a shot?
Yeah, I'm going to take a boson dart shot at this guy. All
right.
And spend 2 brownie points to do it. 20.
20?
For a boson dart.
You hit him. And it's a pretty good hit, too. In fact, when you hit him, he reappears.
I'm gonna try boson darting him again, because I can do it every other turn, right?
It would have cooled down by now.
Yeah, okay. So I'm gonna try to...
You better back up.
Yeah. Well, I did. I dove away.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
So I'm gonna try boson darting him. Yahtzee!
Wow.
That's a... That's 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2.
For a total of
7.
It does do damage, but you don't hit him exactly. You hit the wall. The wall of the engine room. And the splash damage does affect him. Oh. And it leaves a bad mark on the wall, but it doesn't puncture a hole in it.
Well, we're, just get a Mystically Magic Eraser.
Yeah, we'll get that taken care of.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Over this time, the boat has been tipping more and more as it's been going on, and the water is sloshing to one side and still filling up, But this guy, Lee, looks pretty well beaten, but we just need to take care of him. As your guys' experience as Ghostbusters, he looked really bad.
Alright, I'm gonna proton stream him.
Alrighty. You hit him, and you got a capture stream.
Cool.
Grab the trap, boy.
Yeah, I know,
it's like
gonna burn.
Are you gonna take the trap off of his belt?
Yeah.
Like, so he's wrestling with it, you're gonna take, I got you, wait! You got
I guess I'll set the climbing gear down. So I imagine that's in like a bag or something.
Yeah.
Alright, so I throw the trap at. Well, no, how are we gonna do this?
You got a hole.
Water.
Josh is the closest guy. I would say at this point, if he's got a capture stream on, you're probably off to the side in between some enemies.
Okay. Yeah, well, and I've also got a proton. Yeah, I've also got a proton pack. Mm-hmm. So if you say, look away.
Yeah, so I jump down towards him and say, close your eyes, and I pop open the trap and hold it in front of me like I'm doing.
Okay, so if Wall is shooting down into the engine room, he's like close up to the entrance, but he's got a capture stream on a very cramped, cramped quarters. the only way you'd have to go is maybe around the sides of the engine. So if you're gonna go around, I'd say you're across from Josh, because both of you guys are like facing each other on opposite. So if you're gonna open up the trap and try and redo what Josh attempted with scooping him up.
Need to hold it on.
Just point the trap at him.
Hold it at him.
I think I'm gonna hold it kind of at an angle upwards.
Okay. All right. Go for it.
Josh needs to.
And
so you
got it. You're holding the trap with your hands. You open it up, and Josh is facing it, but he's keeping his eyes closed, so...
I take off my goggles, too.
Yeah. But now, since Josh, his eyes are closed, since he can't really guide it into the trap if he's facing the trap.
Right.
If Wall was going to guide this into the trap, you can attempt to do it as a single, as one man.
And so... I'm
also very uncomfortable about the number of spider crabs.
There are a lot. Yeah, you get it in.
Cool.
You get it in. So, Wool's standing there, and just one proton stream just comes close to his face, slams it in the trap. Yeah, you would automatically close it, and it gets quiet. Josh can open his eyes now, because he's heard the trap close.
Are you sure it's safe?
Yeah.
Wool soiled his pants a little bit, because the proton stream was going to his face.
It was pretty... This is very close quarters. The proton stream was getting a little too close to every person in here. I will say, at this point, the water just sinks out of the boat. It's still wet and damp, but the water level goes down. The boat rights itself right back up. The emergency lights go off. Regular lights come on, and things appear to be normal.
Hey guys, guess who has drive vehicle, and guess who?
Tobin.
Guess who gets to bring this thing in?
Tobin didn't go down into the engine room that second time. He was behind Adam at the door looking down. Yeah.
So guess who gets to drive this thing back and forth?
Right.
Anybody. It's a boat. It's easy.
It's a vehicle.
It is a large boat. It is a yacht.
It's not quite easy navigating.
I believe it's pronounced yatched.
Yacked.
So who is going to drive?
Me.
All right, well then give me your drive vehicle.
Real worried there for a second.
You drove it real well.
5:27.
Okay, yeah, you get it back in. You just...
Is there a hat? Is there like a captain's hat that I can just
wear? Let's say there's a captain's hat.
Oh, good. I'm
going to
wear it.
You have to pay
$250. I can't believe they left.
I'm going to be whistling as I do it and tapping my foot.
But it's you do it with relative ease. You go right back up to the dock right where you guys
are. I'm just behind
off.
Him singing, "Show me the way to go home."
So you can dock it. The rest of you guys, if you... Tied off, you get back onto the dock. I mean, you got it, trap smoking and everything. It's good to go.
Want to have one of us call?
Yeah,
not it.
Don Relly? I'll call him.
All right, so if you call me, just tell me you're.
Yeah, we say, hey, it was actually a much more dangerous ghost than we were expecting, but your ship's fine. There's a black mark on the wall. Nothing that like a small coat of paint won't fix.
Okay, so
the engine room, so it's not even visible to passengers.
Okay, so he says, all right, well, I'll be right there. He and like some bodyguards drive up. He comes out of the dock, he sees that the boat is fine, and he just goes over and he just doesn't necessarily hug you guys, but he definitely puts like an arm around a couple of you guys and he's just like, thank you. Just like he's very relieved, he's very happy with these results.
Sweet. So we're now part of the family?
No.
If you ask him that, he just looks at you.
Alright, can you PK the trap?
Yeah, I'll PK the trap.
Yeah, you know that this is at least, you would classify this as a very, very strong class 4.
Actually, I'm gonna make a cold roll. I'm gonna ask him to get for my research. I'm gonna say it's confidential. We're not talking to anybody.
So what do you?
I'm asking Don Morelli how the ghost died.
Mm-hmm. He again says, he's not too proud of it. He says, my father was a very powerful man, and he had a lot of enemies. This guy, he looked like Don Caparzo. They took him out on the boat to have a peace talk. I don't know what happened, but he was never seen again. He says, I was just a kid. I was just a boy when it happened.
Okay, well, I'm going to make an occult roll to see if this type of thing is common among murders at sea.
Okay. For murders at sea, yeah, that's like it's like a revenge ghost. Okay. It would make sense. It wouldn't be like an anomaly. You would think that it's a little strange that it would only appear now to the sun and not just be constantly haunting the boat since the day it died.
Have we had a lot of calls since the incident, since it's a codal?
There was, for the first couple months, there was a lot because of all the craziness that was released, but it has gone down to very normal, very predictable, very mundane levels.
Okay. So this is like the biggest thing we've seen since
in a while.
Then.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we ask him if there's something that's happened in the past couple weeks? Like why was he in Italy?
Oh, he says, I was...
Mediterranean.
I was in the Mediterranean. I was visiting Italy, because, I mean, come on.
Delicious meatballs, am I right?
he answered your question. He says, I was on vacation. I was, trying to just clear my head from some recent court hearings and whatnot, and we're trying to sever some ties. So I wanted to take a vacation, and I was out in the Mediterranean, and then I got a phone call saying my little girl was in jail.
Bada bing, bada boom.
And I had to come home, and... on the ride back across, we're coming back from the Mediterranean. That's when things got crazy, and that's when this guy started showing up. He is confused. He's like, no, I mean, this entire time, ever since I was a boy, we would go out fishing on this boat. We would have nice vacations. Nothing crazy ever happened. It wasn't until I was on my way back from the Mediterranean that this happened. Mm. Was there anything else you wanted to ask or you wanted to roll for as far as, like...
I don't know. Want grills.
I think we're hungry. We just want to...
All right, you hit up some grills on the way back?
Sure.
Way
back?
Do they have shark... tonight?
Let me roll for it.
No. Damn it.
Every single time.
Every time. I never have shark.
We never get shark.
So you guys set up grills, they don't have any shark. But when you do get back,
the day is ruined because of that.
Well, I mean, we still like good food.
Yeah.
This wasn't shark.
Mm-hmm. In Long Island.
So when you guys get back, you get a call from Alan Friedman, and he's representing Peacock now. But he's from your deal with him before. He's a good guy. He was just like, hey guys, just checking up. I heard you guys went on a call earlier today, and I heard that you guys weren't really feeling that well. Is there anything? Is everything okay? Do we need to call in any replacements? And how did the bus go?
Bus went good. Turned out to be a pro bono job.
Can you explain what do you mean by pro bono?
It was a very dangerous ghost, and the client didn't have a lot of money.
All right. Well, so it's like more charitable in that sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all right. Well, that's a write-off. That's okay. He says, all right. Well, I mean, okay. I'll just check it in. So if you guys are cool, then we're good. All right. I'll be in touch. If you guys need me for anything, give me a call. After you get off the phone with Alan Friedman, Nina comes in with the mail, and there is a package. And she says, "This is a package from the Ghostbusters International in the UK." So if you guys want to open it, it's
do we have to pay $250?
No.
Yeah, that's haven't seen those guys in a while.
Yeah.
Crack it open. See what it is.
Yeah. So it's a small package.
It's a giant fist that punches Doctor.
it's a small package. I would say what option would you say is like about this big?
About the size of like a
baseball cap?
It would be big enough to hold a baseball cap. But anyway, you open it up. Inside there is a letter. And there is a small, looks like a very ornate jewelry box.
From Ghostbuster International Headquarters, London, United Kingdom. Dear Big Men Ghostbusters Orlando, this package is maybe bad rings of powers. We don't what, but energy is unreal. If you do not take, is best. Soon be update of what happenings. Love, Heavy Weapons Guy. P.S. I am shamed by my baby man English writing skill. Remember, I speak it much better, so please forgive. Ivan Kosov, heavy weapon specialist. All those guys.
Can I see this one?
Yes.
So anyway, yeah, you get it. It's so according to the letter, there is like it says, there's a small little jewelry box about the size of a box to hold the dice.
Five rings in there, different colors, green.
Do you want to open it?
Yeah. Shotgun, not heart.
you open it. There's just one ring. It's very small.
Is there an inscription? Elfish.
No, there's no inscription on the ring.
What's the PKE reading?
Do you give me brains?
Yeah. What's it like? What's it made of?
It looks like it's made of gold. You're getting right now. It's a very low level, but it doesn't seem.
I put it on.
You put it on.
God.
All right. I'll explain on close inspection because you're looking at it, you're PKing and everything.
Yeah.
It's a gold ring. It looks like it has some like redstones embedded into the band.
Okay.
But you put it on, and you put it on and nothing happens.
If I go, I have the power. Does anything happen?
I slap Riggs and take the ring off of his finger and put it back in the case.
If you say I have the power, nothing happens. You want to before he goes crazy. You want to try.
Yeah, I will actually slap him and take the ring.
You got to give me muscles if you want to get that ring off.
Six. No, sorry. Nine.
That ring does not come off.
I'll try and take it off. 13.
It does not come off.
I grab a slime blower and cover his hand.
Onto his hand?
Okay. I'm gonna try it with two brownie
points. Nina's watching like, is something wrong?
I'm worried now.
Like, I'm gonna have to cut off Briggs' hand.
What?
Finger!
Who cares? What? Now he has to wear a girly ring for the rest of his life. Let's say we cut our losses.
Meanwhile, the heaviest clap.
19.
19?
Yeah.
It does not come off.
Josh, quickly, just grab it and run and yank.
No.
Why not?
No, I think it looks nice.
No, this is retarded.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Now it's like, retarded.
No, you're the one who wanted to wear it. Now you're wearing it. I think it's a good match.
I thought it would give me powers.
All right. Well, the ring is stuck on you for the time being. A phone call comes in, and Nina says that it's the Ghostbusters of New York, and they want to speak to one of you to someone. You want to just put on speakerphone?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. He says, hey gentlemen, this is Raymond Stance, New York branch. How are you guys doing?
I have a ring that won't come off.
He's like, what? he's is it like a ex-wife or something?
No, the old ball and chain. Physically won't.
He just married a ghost.
I think Briggs has made the worst decision of his life, but
to be fair, I did jump in my own grave.
He says, well, have you guys heard from the International Ghostbusters in the UK, by any chance?
Yeah, we just got a package, actually.
What was in it?
A ring that Briggs is now wearing permanently, it seems.
Won't come off.
And Stance is just like, why did you put it on?
Science compelled me.
He says, all right, well, the reason we're asking is because we haven't heard from the International Ghostbusters in several days. And we're going to be issuing an ecto alert because we don't know where they've gone. The police in London have started an investigation. What you guys have might be evidence, but we were actually hoping that we could send you guys as representatives to sort of figure out what happened, because we've been talking to the police and they are very confused by some of the paperwork that they were filing. They don't understand the terminology. They don't understand the business by any stretch of the means. They were servicing most of Europe, so some of them are even in different languages and things. So it's just a very big mess, and they are requesting our help.
I put on the ecto goggles and I look at Briggs' hand.
Mm-hmm.
What do I see?
You see a definite glowing in the ring and a light glowing going through his hand.
The hand's gonna have to come off.
Oh, no.
But Dr. Stance basically asks, he's like, would you guys be available to maybe go to London and maybe help aid in the investigation?
Yeah, that's good.
Those guys are missing. I mean,
they were nice dudes.
Yeah.
He says, okay, well.
No, I'm never going to let Heavy live this down.
He says, all right, well, we can make the arrangements. Your expenses, of course, for travel will be paid for by the company. The sooner you can leave, the better, because they have been missing for a couple of days. So, can you leave by like tomorrow?
Yeah, doable.
They go, okay, we will book the tickets.
Can you look out to get my finger ring, off ring finger thing?
So are you talking? You asking Dr. Stance?
Yeah.
He says what? Like what's the problem?
Finger off ring off the finger. Can you work on finding ways to remove?
I'm just gonna start using the magical internet to research rings of power.
Okay, but now you do. Now, just tell me exactly what you tell Dr. Stance. Exactly.
I want you to figure out how to get this thing off my hand.
He goes,
I'm scared now.
I asked for a window seat, not next to Brick.
When you explained you got a ring on your finger and you're worried, and you ask him to figure out a way to get it off, you do feel like pins and needles going down your arm, but Stance immediately just says, "Yeah, don't worry about it. We're getting on that."
All right, so we're going to England, London.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, going to London.
Oh, cool. Let's go.
Now he also says that you probably want to bring somebody who knows the different languages.
Okay.
Well, we've got a receptionist.
He goes, oh, good. He says, so do you have someone to watch the firehouse while you're gone then?
We have a very talented animal.
And our accountant.
And your new assistant accountant. Yes, indeed. Yes. He goes, okay, well then, all right. If everything's going to be left in good hands, then, gentlemen, good luck. I guess give us a call once you get there and assess the situation. Give us an update as soon as you can.
Right on.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's all I have for you tonight, then.
Excellent.
Idiot.
What? It's not my fault. It was calling.
It is
not
entirely
your fault.
It is entirely your fault.
I have to say, it actually took about 5 seconds longer than I thought it would. I did not expect you to scan it first.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you.
That means we rely on you to keep us in business by telling a friend, reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution in our monthly support drive.
And if you act now, you can take advantage of our special half-price service plan.
Whoa, hold on. Half price? Have we all gone mad?
I guess so, LaForge, because that's not all. Tell them, Wall.
Oh, you mean if you donate even $1, you get access to exclusive Nerdy Show content and cool perks?
That's right, and you can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store.
So don't wait another minute. Make your supernatural problem our supernatural problem.
And if you'd like to report a spook, specter, or ghost, call us at 321-209-2020.
You can also follow us or the Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks.
We're ready to believe you!
Go, go, go! Afraid of no ghosts.
Hi, Titus Fullcaller here. I have a ghost that keeps appearing on my front porch. He's an old man. He's not particularly, like, horrifying or frightening, but he keeps talking about baseball, and it's very annoying. I really don't care about baseball. If you could do something about that, that would be great.